announcement this Saturday. Get your head out. But if not, I'll have some more copied. But we're finishing the chapter on taking inventory from Carry This Message, and it's been really good so far, hasn't it? Really good stuff. And the final few pages are great. Great summary of what we're trying to do with the process of the steps. So if you can join us Saturday at 9:15, bring your handout if you've been here at all, if you have one. It's AA, so I always make a whole bunch more. That was a joke. My wife says, well, why do you have to make 40 more? I said, well, it's AA, honey. She goes, so now she says, do I make 40 or not? I say, yes, honey. Nobody wants to listen to this on the podcast. Sunday night, we're going to finish Acceptance is the Answer, Dr. Paul's story. We read the first part, and we're going to read the powerful last few pages. It has so much wisdom in it. They've really helped me a lot in my recovery. And then on Sunday, we're going to be starting the big book over for, I believe, the 10th or 11th time. I can't remember anymore. And so join us Sunday night at 6. It's going to be good. Tonight, we're on We Agnostics. I think we're in our 11th time through the book. And we're covering this chapter, which every time I read it, has more and more spiritual information in it. It's hard to believe this was written by people with just a few years of sobriety and no theological training, but they had a lot of assistance in writing this from the Oxford Group members and Reverend Shoemaker and some other information, because the way it's written is so powerful. We're up to page 50, and I'm going to review two paragraphs, so don't tell anybody. And then we're going to go on and cover just two or three pages tonight. And in studying it, I saw some really new things for the first time, even though I've probably gone through this hundreds of times. I want to read this again. We covered it last week. It says, on one proposition, however, these women and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. That's what the fellowship of the spirit is composed of. People have gained access to and believe in a power greater than themselves. This power is in each case accomplished the miraculous, the humanly possible. And then here's this really powerful paragraph. Here are thousands of men and women. I bet there's a million now. Worldly indeed, they flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude towards that power and to do certain simple things, there's been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. And the last week I went through this in detail. I'm not going to go through it, but just the words are so powerful. In the face of collapse and despair, anybody facing collapse and despair? Anybody facing a total failure of their human resources when they came in here? They found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. And I heard that tonight when you talked. And this happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, do we have any confused and baffled in here? They show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them. And that's what this book is really all about, is this paragraph. When many hundreds of people, now it's thousands, maybe millions, are able to say, can you say this? The consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of my life. I can say that. Why? Because if I don't have the consciousness of the presence of God, then things don't go well. I get back into me, fear, anger, judgment. Anybody relate to that? So it's the most important thing is to me is to have the consciousness of the presence of God. And they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And then we read this next paragraph where you talked about Columbus, how in ancient times people were prejudiced and they didn't believe things. It says, in the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Well, guess what? In my mind, when I came in here, I had all sorts of fixed ideas. Anybody else? I thought they were good because they were my fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. Now, what we're trying to do in AA is symbolized by Columbus. I'll go through this again. What we do when we come in is we want to be willing to change. Anybody want to change? And Columbus was willing to change. He was willing to go west to get east. Now, in those days, the world, you can still find the map, showed the end of the world if you went to the west. You know, it was the end. Absolutely everybody agreed it. And you had to go all the way around Africa to get to the East Indies, and it's a long way, especially in those days, and dangerous. A lot of people probably didn't make it. Or they had to go overland, which was a long way, and they had to cross the desert or go through the Himalayas. So he was willing to go west to get east. Everybody thought it was not possible, but he was willing to do it. Now, he wouldn't have done it unless he believed he could do it. Now, do you believe you can change? That's what the second step is all about, right? We believe that there's a power greater than ourselves, right? That can change us. So he believed he could change, and then he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go west. So he had to get the Queen of Spain to give him money, remember? So he was an alcoholic. He got a woman to get him all the ships and everything. Get the hint? And then he got the ships, three ships. He got all the sailors, and he got a special lookout, a special guy with extraordinary sight so that he could be on the first ship and see the end of the world before Columbus in the third ship went over the end of the world. See, Columbus covered his bases, right? He's an alcoholic. But he's made a decision to change, right? So what's happened to Columbus? Where is he? He's still in Spain. So when we come in, we believe we can change, we decide to change, but we have to take action. So he got in the ships, remember? It's in the history books. He was in the last ship. He had the special lookout in the first ship, remember? He's covering his bases. Well, when they got the land. Now, when he got there, he didn't know where he was, right? And he didn't know where he'd been. And then Joe and Charlie said, a lady paid for it all. It's supposed to be a joke. I thought it was funny. So anyway, he was an alcoholic. So he gets there, and he's found land. So when he goes back to Spain, he has faith. So we start with willingness, belief, decision, action, and then we have true faith. And that's what they're talking about here. Faith and trust in God. Now, how do I have faith in God? Because God's doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Look at my life today. Can't imagine what it would have been like years ago when I came in here. I didn't do it. God did it for me, but I worked the steps. So then when he went the next time, he didn't need the special lookout, right? He knew. So when I work the steps and I ask God, I know what's going to happen today, right? So it's really the whole deal. We make AA very complicated. Am I willing to change? Do you believe you can change? Decide to change and then take action to change and you're changed. So we don't start with faith and trust in AA. We start with belief. And the action gives us faith and trust. It's different. And people get confused. So then it says, we asked ourselves this. Are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Anybody biased and unreasonable when they came in here? Anybody not biased and unreasonable? And remember, we have to let go of our old ideas. What? Absolutely. Or what's the result? Nil. So in the present century, American newspapers, they did. The Charlotte newspaper sent somebody to Kitty Hawk, and they were afraid to print it because everybody had said it, you couldn't fly. And Professor Langley's flying machine went to the bottom of the Potomac. And this is so true of our alcoholism. Was it not true that the best mathematical minds had proved man could never fly? Now, we got some brilliant minds in AA, and they've proven a lot of things in their own mind, right? But they weren't true, right? And we lived on the lies, didn't we? So had not people said God had reserved this privilege to the birds? And only 30 years later, the conquest of the air was almost an old story, and airplane travel was in full swing. See, biased means prejudiced. unreasonable, not guided by or based on good sense. And I know I had some biased and unreasonable ideas. I didn't realize it at the time. I thought they were my ideas, and I thought they were okay. And then I saw how they were wrong. And then the most exciting part of my life today may sound boring, but I love it when I see an old idea that I was wrong about. I just say, wow. And it can happen all the time. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Shalani Longshoreman, a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, he will say, I bet they do it, and maybe not so long ago either. And I still remember walking home from school. I was in the fifth grade in Baltimore, Maryland. We had to walk home in the city, and I had my school books. And that day we got our weekly reader, and it said how we were going to go to the moon. And it really bothered me because I didn't see how we would still be able to have baseball if we went to the moon. I mean, we're going to go to the moon. How could we still have the Baltimore Orioles and all this? You know, I was 10 years old. It worried me. But people believed it was true. And that was after we sat in the classroom and we watched the guy up in space on those little TVs that you see now. And they would bring the TV in the classroom. We watched Alan Shepard go up in space for 20 minutes. That was really kind of neat. And I remember the night that they walked on the moon. It was in July, I think. And they timed it so that it would be prime time. These were smart guys. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember, but that was really something when he did that. Anyway, I'm getting off base. So here's the deal. This next few lines, it's not our age. So the first line was complete liberation of my thinking. So I think to recover, I have to have liberation of my thinking, right? And then it says the age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new. And I hadn't seen this before. I have to have liberation of my thinking, and I have to be ease to discard my old ideas. And then the third thing it says, I had to ask myself, why shouldn't apply to my human beings the same readiness to change my point of view. So to recover, I have to liberate my thinking from me. I have to have ease to discard my old ideas. And I had human problems when I came in here. Anybody have human problems? And I had to have a readiness to change my point of view of how I could solve them. You see how that's written in the book? Because now they're going to describe what an unmanageable life looks like in the big book. It says, we were powerless over alcohol, we admit it. Anybody admit that? Dash, our lives were unmanageable. My life was unmanageable by me, and they're going to describe it now. So some people ask, where is an unmanageable life described? It says, I was having trouble with personal relationships. Anybody have that when you come in here? Anybody not having trouble with personal relationships? Couldn't control my emotional nature. Anybody have an emotional nature? You see it? Prey to misery. Anybody miserable and depressed? Of course we're depressed when we come in here. Why? We didn't get our way. It didn't work out. Couldn't make a living. I still had a job, but I wasn't really doing the kind of job I wanted to do because I was in conflict with everybody or everything. Anybody feel useless? Now here's the one that was described me, full of fear. Anybody full of fear? I was afraid of everything. I didn't want to answer the phone. I didn't want to get the mail. Anybody came to the door in the office, I figured it's bad news. Anybody else feel like that? Now, you know what? You get in recovery, and still, anytime anybody came to the door in the office, I said, oh God, what do I do now? You never quite get over that, but I don't live in fear anymore. Full of fear. Anybody unhappy? Anybody unhappy when they come in here? People don't wake up one day and say, gee, my life's great. I'm going to go to AA. Couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. So these are called the benevolence. It says, was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. So what he's saying here is that people believe that they could send a person to the moon. So can you believe that you can solve your problems another way? Is there another way you can solve your unmanageable life? Are you willing to do that? So this is why, and the bedevilments, I looked it up. Bedevil means to torment or harass maliciously or diabolically. And my bedevilments were my doubts, my worries, my distractions. And he writes that these things bedeviled me. So how did these things happen? How did this paragraph come to be? We all agreed we had this, right? Well, we had it because I was managing the world. And I caused all of this. Now, when people come in, they usually have a list of 5 or 10 people who caused all this, right? And they can go into great detail how it happened, right? But now, I caused all of this. And they're going to show us that in page 60 to 63. But here's how this ties together. So if you've had these bedevilments and you're willing to change your thinking, you're going to discard your old ideas, you want to change your point of view. It says, when we saw others solve their problems, that's what we see in AA. I see others solve their problems. I see Emily, her life's getting better. 3 months. It's changed by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. So people who doubt the power of God, you should see it in AA, right? Don't you agree? Because I saw, when I came in, I saw Marshall. And I said, he looks better than me. He's doing better than me. I didn't know. And I said, and he's relying on this program and doing the deal, so I can do it too. And I met a whole bunch of people. A lot of them passed away, but they gave me hope. And I wanted to follow whatever they said to do because I believed they had something I didn't have. It's a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. I had to stop doubting the power of God. My ideas did not work. Anybody agree with that? But the God idea did. And that's the deal. The God idea works. People don't want to hear about God. I said, well, how's your ideas working for you? Change your mind. Sandy Beach says you don't argue with anybody. Just say, how's it working for you? And somebody said, you know, how is your experience living separated from God? And then how is your experience living connected to God? And then the big book says, you don't have to do this. We don't care. But if you have these problems, we suggest if your plan has not worked, try this and let us know the result. We don't tell anybody to do it. It's up to you. But if you want to live the way you are, more power to you. But AA says, do this experiment and see what happens. People have done it and good things have happened, right? So it said, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of this accomplishment. So they had the same idea. They were willing to try to fly. They believed they could fly. They decided to fly, and they built the machine, and they got up in it. And then they knew, once they'd flown, that they could do it. Without that, nothing could have happened. Now, we agnostic and atheists, and here's the definition of an agnostic and atheist in the big book. I never saw it before. An agnostic and atheist sticks to the idea that self-sufficiency will solve their problem. Doesn't that make sense? And so everybody who comes into AA was either an agnostic or an atheist, because if they had knowledge of God, then they would have allowed God to work, right? But they didn't. You can believe in God and still be an agnostic. Joe and Charlie explained it to me. Agnostic is those without knowledge of God. And how do you get knowledge of God? By trust and seeing God work in your life. And remember, it says, step 11, we ask to improve our conscious contact with God, asking only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. So when others showed that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who insisted the rights would never fly. So really, if you come into AA and you have any problem with the steps or the God idea, look around the room. See what's worked for other people, right? Now, logic is great stuff. We love logic. You know why? You know why we liked it? I don't know why I liked it, because it was my logic. Right? When you're talking about logic, you're dealing with your own mind. I loved it. We still like it. It is not by chance we are given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses and to draw conclusions. That's one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which did not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Does that make sense? You want a proposal which has a reasonable approach and intent. But here's the problem with that. Hence, we are at pains to tell why. They're at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable. They had faith that was reasonable, right? It was very hard to tell a new person why. And so you know what we say? Do it and tell us what happened. Do you work the steps? Tell us what happens to your life. God will prove, reveal himself to you. Why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe. Why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands and sat down and said we don't know. Now here's the key paragraph in the book. Page 53. It's the whole deal. It's the only question and choice in the book. When I became an alcoholic, when was that? When was the moment that you became an alcoholic? Does anybody remember the date? Here's what they tell you. You became an alcoholic when you're crushed by a self-imposed crisis. You cannot postpone and evade. So I was an alcoholic a long time, but I became an alcoholic in my mind when I was crushed by a self-imposed crisis. I could not postpone or evade. Anybody else have that? And that was the moment when I got down on my knees and I said, I just have had enough. I was exhausted. Anybody else exhausted? I was exhausted. And I began to have hope once I admitted that I needed help. I got down on my knees and I asked God to help me. I said, I don't know. I just know I'm going to do anything anybody tells me. I can't live this way anymore. Then when you're crushed and you become an alcoholic, here's what you have to fearlessly face. The question, so if you're an alcoholic and you're crushed and you come in here with a self-imposed crisis, here's the only question you have. That either God is everything or else he is nothing. It's the only question you really have when you come in here. Is God everything or nothing? God either is or he isn't. What is your choice going to be? Do you choose yourself or do you choose God? Think about it. Because whenever I choose me, then I'm back in the problem. And then I have fear and I have anger. And do I choose God? Now here's the deal. I don't know about you, but for me, I have to say, what's my choice all day long? Because I know when I'm back choosing me, right? I'm impatient, I'm intolerant, I'm judging, something's bothering me, I'm disturbed. And so I say, well, I've chosen me here. I need to choose you, God. Change the way I see it. And isn't this what we do with the second step proposition? This is the question. The second step proposition exercises on fear. How can fear be related to God either is or he isn't? What is our choice to be? Well, whenever I choose me, I'm afraid. Whenever I'm managing anything in my life, I have fear. So I know when I'm choosing me, I'm afraid. Anybody else relate to that? It says, why did we have fear on page 68, maybe 68. It says we had fear because self-reliance failed me, remember? So this is the question we have to ask all the time. And it says, arrived at this point, you're squarely confronted with the question of faith. God is there, is or isn't. We couldn't duck the issue, so you can't duck this issue. Either God is everything or nothing. And it says, some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. And there's, I forgot to bring the handout, so there's this bridge. And over here, we're in our world of alcoholism, and I'm living in my reason. And across the bridge is faith and relationship with God. And the 12 steps are how I get over there. And here's the analogy they use. I walked far over, but I wasn't quite to the new land yet. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. So here I am, I come to AA, my life's an effing mess. I'm over and living in my mind of reason. I'm over here. I want to get over there. So I start walking. And I'm making progress. And people are reaching out their hands to me. And here's what it says. Friendly hands that stretch out welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, But somehow we couldn't quite step ashore, and I think this is why people don't make it. They can't quite give up on themselves. They're still hanging on to their reason, their ideas, their plan. Perhaps we've been leaning too heavily on reason. That last mile, we did not like our support. And so that, I think that's why people don't make it. They don't completely give up and do the deal and take the steps. So there's a bridge to freedom, reason to faith. And to do it, you have to cross that chasm. And if you go halfway, you're still not there yet. You got to go all the way. So I think I'll stop it with that. I hope this was helpful and powerful, powerful pages. And next week, we're going to look and finish this chapter. It's really powerful stuff. Next week, we're going to see where God is and what blocked us from God. So I'll stop there, and I hope we have plenty of time for people to share and talk about this. Thank you.